Well, why don't we get started with our worship? Got one announcement. Lena is joining us as the accompanist for the first time today. I feel kind of bad that ruins the mood a little bit. So, but if everybody would please ready your heart and mind for prayer.
Please rise, either in body or spirit, for the call to worship printed in our bulletin. Eternal God, we praise you. Amidst all that changes, you are present. You have been here forever, waiting for us. Let all that is passing fall away. With open hands, we let go of all but you. Alleluia. Spirit of life, transform us by your grace. Alleluia. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us pray together. Holy One, there is no God like you. In praise and thanksgiving, we come before you ready to learn of your power, ready to follow your path for our lives, through days of jubilation as well as dejection. Help us realize your influence in the world. We ask simply for ears to hear, eyes to see, and minds to comprehend the blessings you bestow. Amen.
So if all the keiki would come forward and you can listen to Larry for the keiki time.
Yes, come forward, one and all. You and you. Come on. Don't be shy. Come on up. I don't have a screensaver or anything. This came from above. My neighbor upstairs drew it. You know I can't draw. Everybody. Is everybody here? No. You too. Okay. So this is about the thing that came from the sea. Now, Mark Wilson heard that and said, oh, that sounds scary. Mark, I promise you, I won't scare anybody. That's my pledge. Now, the thing that came from the sea is an interesting thing. The thing that came from the sea has no top or bottom, has no left or right, has no eyes or ears, has no arms or legs. So I'm going to hold thing up so you can see, but don't get shocked because I don't know what is what. Basically, anything you look at is one of the thousand faces of thing. And so this is thing, and this is thing, and this is thing, and that is thing. It's all thing. And you need to say it when you say the end, it's thing. Okay. Not just anything, it's thing. Okay, so thing has some adventures, and I'm going to tell you one. I don't know what I'm leaving out, but this is one of the scrolls of the story of thing. It's a live sea scroll. So here it goes. Long ago, thing was created on an island thick with forest, deep and green, with so many branches they blocked the sun. Below, crisscrossed roots, roots on top of roots, until they spilled into the sea. Not too long ago, a terrible typhoon tore the shore, shredded the leaves, smashed the trees, and flung the flowers and the bees far from their lives into the skies. Thing lived in peace no more. All trace of the island was erased, sunk below the wild waters, bubbling down. Thing was sunken too, down into a different darkness. For from its familiar land, far from its familiar land. So began a long, long, long journey. Thing would sink and float, sink and float, sink and float, float and sink. From beach to beach, just out of reach, from this land, that land, sometimes stranded on some shallow reef, circling that land. But then a storm stronger than the strongest yet sucked thing up onto the clouds and mixed it with seaweed and sea foam, no more to roam from ocean to endless ocean. Then crash, pound, pounded, pounded up the dunes, grounding shells to sand, up the land until the rain stopped, the clouds broke, and it would not rain again. It seemed forever. Thing was half buried further inland than it had ever been, among fields with crops washed away. Days and weeks, Thing baked beneath the burning sun from morning's light till day was done. Okay, this is the first scroll. There are 144 scrolls. When is your bedtime? When is your bedtime? I don't hear. Okay, not enough time. So we'll go on, and I want to show you some pictures. A photographer followed Thing for a little bit when he came on the shore, and he took a few photos until a bigger story came up. I think a duck learned to play the saxophone or something. And so he ran off, and we only have a few photos. Now, you know why Thing is on the land. Thing is on the land because the Creator created Thing to tell all creation that they're loved and that things are bad. You see, things are bad for Thing, but they're worse than they should be. And we're the cause of it. The human creation makes things worse than the bad sometimes things that happen. And so Thing comes on the land, and he goes around and touches people. He communicates with people. He has no tongue, no mouth, no ears. He has none of those things that we do. And so he communicates with people wordlessly, like this police officer. Thing, you see, that's okay. Thing. And well, you can't see the policeman. The policeman is communicating wordlessly with Thing, and Thing is communicating wordlessly with the officer. The officer is saying, thinking, feeling, you need to get out of the street. And Thing is thinking, officer, go about your day today and every day, making the world a better place. So the rest of the day, this guy is making people laugh and smile and enjoy themselves. Even people he had to arrest go away laughing. So made the world a better place. And Thing goes on. And Thing goes to a restaurant and climbs up on the counter and communicates wordlessly with the waitress. And the waitress is thinking, oh, poor Thing doesn't have a mouth. How's he going to eat? And Thing is thinking, I bet she could take orders. I bet she could do what I ask her to do. And so they communicated with each other. The waitress took Thing's order, and order said, and Thing said, today, please be nice to everybody. Help people along. Make the world a better place. And she did. What a great place. I wish I'd eaten there. And here we have my favorite. Thing was tasked with communicating with all of creation. Bananas and giraffes and bushes and rocks. So not just people, human creation, but all of creation. So this is, I think this is real interesting. So Thing runs across a dog, and they communicate wordlessly. Yes, a dog has tongue. Yes, a dog has a mouth, but a dog doesn't have reason or words. So you can tell, what the dog is communicating. Have you ever seen a dog like that wasn't just overjoyed and excited? you know, it knew the dog was thinking, stick, play, play, stick, stick, play. So Thing communicated with the dog, and the dog communicated with Thing. And of course, you know, dogs, cats, they just make the world better all the time, everywhere. So this is what Thing came for. This is why Thing was created. And we are created. We are part of creation, created by the Creator. And we're created to love. We're created to love that person and the person behind you, all people and all creation. So we have to take care of the giraffes and the bananas and the rocks and the clouds. We are tasked with doing that. And I'll see. I think we've come to an end, but I just want to say, if you have questions, I'll be happy to make up answers, talking out of my hat. But be sure, if you FaceTime me, that you get your parents there so that they can explain why they didn't answer the questions. So I'm going to put that on the chat. And y'all listen to Pastor Flourney. He's got a lot to say. And if you feel like acknowledging Thing's contribution, don't applaud. He has no ears. Do this. That's what they do for deaf people, like this. Nobody. Yeah. That's all.
On that note, why don't we all pass along some of this love and pass the peace to one another?
Hey, everybody, peace.
Peace be with you.
And also peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
Everybody. Peace, everybody in Zoom land.
The first scriptural reading for today comes from 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. Hannah prayed and said, "My heart exults in God. My strength is exalted in my God. My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in my victory. There is no holy one like God, no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let not arrogance come from your mouth. For our God is a God of knowledge, by whom actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are broken, but the feeble gird on strength. Those who are full have hired themselves out for bread, but those who are hungry are fat with spoil. The barren has borne 7, but she who has many children is forlorn. Our God kills and brings to life. God brings down to Sheol and raises up. God makes poor and makes rich. God brings low. God also exalts. God raises up the poor from the dust. God lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are God's, and on them God has set the world. God will guard the feet of God's faithful ones, but the wicked shall be cut off in darkness. For not by might does one prevail. God's adversaries shall be shattered. The Most High will thunder in heaven. God will judge the ends of the earth. God will give strength to God's king and exalt the power of God's anointed." The second reading comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13, verses 1 to 8. As he came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be, and what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places, there will be famines, but this is but the beginning of the birth pangs." Here ends the reading.
Good morning. What a privilege it is to share with you this morning, and I want to be particularly mindful of Kahu David, who deserves some vacation. Would you not agree? He deserves a break. Ministry is in no way an easy work, and so I count myself blessed and honored to be able to share with you this morning. I want to focus on the story of Hannah, this woman who was one of two wives and who had a husband that loved her very much. But one of his wives, Peninnah, was not very kind to Hannah because she was a barren woman, using the phraseology of the Bible. She could not give birth. And what I find particularly interesting about this is her not being able to give birth is that in the first chapter of 1 Samuel, it says that the Lord had closed her womb. The Lord had closed her womb. And she's trying repeatedly to give birth because in the ancient Near East, to be able to give birth is considered a sign of prosperity, a sign of success. And at the time, it was important for women to give birth. And then, if I could just say it this way, because of the sexism at the time, it had to be a male child. And that was considered to be a sign of success. Here we see the patriarchy in the Bible playing out. But that is a historical analysis of that particular text of scripture. And in that context, her success was driven by her desire not only to give birth, but to give birth to a male child. But knowing her inability to give birth, Peninnah teased her, tormented her, nagged her, and used every opportunity she had to let her know that somehow that you don't measure up, Hannah, that you're not a real woman, Hannah, that you're of no value, Hannah. Hannah, being grieved in her spirit, just sought of God and sought of God that there must be something I must be able to do about my situation. Have you ever found yourself in a situation where you need God to show up? And perhaps there's no indication that God has the ability to transform or to change or to alter your circumstances. But you go time and again to God. You pray over and over that God somehow would do something that would bring about a change and a transformation in your life. The voices that are around you are those of torment, those of irritability, those of agitation. There are those voices around you that somehow say that somehow you don't measure up. Somehow you're not enough. Somehow you did something wrong. I have the great honor of serving as the chaplain for the Institute of Human Services, working with people that are impacted by homelessness. Every day, we get letters like, "Can you help us?" Last week, we got a letter that said, from a woman who said that she was writing because her husband controlled her cell phone, and she's a victim of domestic violence. And you could hear the pain in her words and said, "But he's not abusing the children, he only abuses me. And I wanna leave him and I wanna leave this situation, but I'm taking a risk even to talk about it because if he finds out, I know what will happen. But if there's anything you can do to get me out of this situation, I would appreciate it. Can you help me find a home. She says, I've been calling around to shelters. They'll take me, but they won't take my children. This is happening right now in November 2021 here in Hawaii. A man writes from under a bridge that I served my country for 35 years. I've tried to reach out to the Veterans Administration, but I'm not getting the help I need. And so if you can come look for me under the bridge right off of H1, and I'll be the one in the green army jacket with the gray blanket. Can you send somebody to help me? I don't read these as emails or as letters, but as prayers. Prayers to a God that has the ability to hear. Who will hear the heart of the homeless one? Who will hear the heart of the woman in a situation where domestic violence is pervasive? Who will hear the heart of young people who have been put out of their homes because they may be members of the LGBTQ community and their family has turned a deaf ear to them? And it says that you're no longer wanted here. You're not welcomed here. Churches who say that if you are a member of that community, you're not welcome to serve with us here. I have the great honor of serving with Ellen Carson, Linda Rich, and a person by the name of Chaplain Moe on a particular committee that is volunteering to help churches become open and affirming if they so choose, and to support them in their transition and their transformation from a place of excluding people on the basis of their sexual orientation and opening up a sign that says that you're welcome here. I'm talking about the house of God now. Out of 137 churches in the Hawaii Conference, there are seven out of 137 churches that are open and affirming. And we've been meeting privately with pastors, and we've been meeting with members of the community, and we understand this is a very delicate situation because I don't take it lightly that people hold their spiritual and religious views, and that is nothing to be toyed with. I don't come in with my Bible beating people over the head. This is what the Word of God really says, even though I'm a member of the LGBT community. But I also understand something greater, that I am a member of God's community. That you and I are members of one of the most beautiful families that we will ever know, and that is the family of God. And because I have experienced Jesus for myself and known the Holy Spirit for myself, I want everyone to know that God loves them for who they are. I want everyone to know that you don't have to stay in a domestic violent relationship in order to find shelter. I want the men, women, and people who served our armed forces to know that you sacrificed your life and you should not be without shelter at this moment. Hannah had a sneaking suspicion that her circumstances were not the end-all, be-all. Hannah understood something because she prayed, and she prayed fervently. She prayed so fervently that when she went to the temple, she was praying in absolute utter silence. And the priest of the temple said, "Woman, why are you drunk?" Essentially, stop making a fool of yourself. And I say this with all due deference. Isn't it something how sometimes clergy get it wrong? Isn't that something? Isn't it something when clergy miss the mark? And I'm including myself in that. Isn't it something when the people, when the women and men of God somehow miss God in that equation? But Hannah said to him, "Sir, I'm not drunk." It reminds me of Peter and the disciples when they were in the upper room and the Spirit of God began to fall upon them. And the calculation by the people was they must be drunk. Isn't it something that when you begin to move in prayer and you begin to cry out to God, that people can miss what you're doing? People can misunderstand who you are and what it is you're doing at that moment. But in that moment, Hannah was praying. Hannah was not only asking for a child, but she was saying, I want to be delivered from this chain of being childless. And Hannah believed that God could do something, that God could do anything except one thing: God cannot fail. If you find yourself in a situation today where you're facing circumstances and you're calling on God, I want you to hear something. If you hear nothing else, that God is with you and God loves you and God will not fail you. Hannah prayed, and God heard her prayer. Her husband, in his most patriarchal of voices, said, Hannah, aren't I more to you than 10 sons? Isn't that something? Just a little bit arrogant. Just a wee bit. Here she's talking about the desires of her heart, the desires of her soul. And even the one who loves her says that her husband loved her even above his other wife, Penina, misunderstood her desire. You see, Hannah was seeking the face of God to do something in her life that she needed. There are times in our lives where we are asking God to show up. There are times in our life when we are asking God to do the miraculous. There are times in our life where we are seeking the face of God, not even for ourselves, but perhaps our children, our grandchildren, our neighbor, our co-workers. And we're asking God to intervene on our behalf. Sometimes we can't even articulate the thing that we're praying for because it is so deeply embedded in our soul that the only audience we need is audience with God. So God hears Hannah's prayer. Hannah knew her wife, her husband, excuse me, and they conceived a child. And the child's name, Samuel, one who is known by God, one who is a son of God. And then Hannah does something remarkable, that in her initial prayer, this thing that she's praying about, she says, God, if you bless me with this child, I'll give him back to you. I will give him back to you. I have 5 children. I have a son that was conceived with my ex-wife. I have a daughter that I adopted from Nigeria. And I have 3 sons that when my former partner and I were together, we adopted 3 boys. So I have 5 kids. I cannot imagine. I love Crossroads. I love Crossroads. I love Kahu David. I love this community. And I don't mind sharing with you that I love God with my whole heart. But I cannot imagine when my daughter came from Nigeria, taking that beautiful chocolate baby, walking down this aisle, and laying her at the temple's table, and says, Lord, use her in your service. But this is what Hannah did. She committed his life to God, to serve God all the days of his life as a Nazirite, meaning that he would never shave his head, he would never touch wine or drink, and that he would never become unclean, meaning that he would never touch dead bodies, because in the customs of that day, to touch a dead body was to become unclean. She essentially devoted him back to God. And then she does something that even I find that much more remarkable. She begins to exalt God in giving her son back to God. She begins to praise God, and she begins to tell God, God, there is no God like you. There is none like you in all the earth. Your name is excellent in all the earth. She begins to glorify God after making a sacrifice unto God. I think about this, the faith of this woman. Who is this woman? First, with such faith to ask God to wrought a miracle in her life. And then to conceive and give birth to this child that she has prayed for. And then to dedicate this child back to God. What I find remarkable is that the Bible says that the Lord had closed her womb. And so in the conception of her child and as a result of her prayer, the Lord reopened her womb. Can I say to you that I'm troubled by that? I'm troubled by that. Why would God close the womb of a woman? There are many things that God does that I wish I had a smart, clever, theological, tidy response for you. But as I study this passage, I'm like, God, why? And I do believe this, that sometimes we won't find out why till we get to glory. There are some answers that some questions that I have learned to accept. There are some things that I have learned in this life sometimes we got to struggle with. I think about this when death comes upon us. We know that there is life and there is death. I was serving as an orderly many years ago in a hospital. And I was asked to come to the neonatal unit. And I went to the neonatal unit and they handed me a bundle. And they said, take this to the morgue. I was about to get on the elevator and a hand stuck through the elevator. And it was a man who got on the elevator and his question to me, is that my baby? And so I'm holding this baby and I don't quite know what to say. I tried to stammer out something, but I realized it would be more disrespectful to try to say something because I didn't believe his question was an actual question as much as it was a rhetorical question. Is that my baby? And by the time I got to the morgue, I was crying. And the only question that came out of me was, why, God? Why, God? When I go to work every day, I see tent cities all around Chinatown. Right now it's raining and we are in this gorgeous cathedral. It is a cathedral to me. This beautiful place, dry and safe from the rain. But as the rain falls right now, church, it's falling upon people that live in cardboard boxes. It's falling upon people that live in tents. It's falling upon people that have pulled a blanket over their head, not only to shelter them from the rain, but shelter them from society that judges them. Shelter them from people that look at them just in the way that Penina looked at Hannah, as if to say, nee, 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 you're less than. What did you do wrong? I'm thinking about the woman that wrote last week who is in a situation where there is domestic violence. And I'm wondering, where is she? And I'm wondering, was she abused last night? And I'm wondering about her children, what they witnessed. Sociological research and psychological research has shown that to witness violence is just as damaging as to be the victim of violence. And so I come this morning only with the testimony of a woman who had the faith to trust God, had the faith to believe in God, had the faith not to accept her station in life, but sought something from God that she knew God could do. She knew God could do it. Hannah rejected her circumstances because she believed that God was able to do exceedingly above all that she could ask, think, or imagine. Hannah declared that it's not by might, but as the New Testament writer says, it's by power. It's not by might, and my mind just went blank, but by love, by power. It is through God. It is through God that we seek a new world. And so this morning, if you're facing an adversity, if you have a prayer request on your heart, if there's something that you're asking God for, I want you to know that God is able. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. I know it for myself to be true. You see, when my wife and I were together, we had fertility problems. We lost a child in utero. But my son came, but first my daughter came from Nigeria that we adopted, and then my biological son came. And then later on, I was able to bring into our family three more sons, five. I consider five to be the number of grace in the Bible. It is God's mercy. It is God's grace. It is God's love that sustains us. I want you to know something. Hannah went on to have five more children. Five more. Hannah went on to become the first prophetic voice in the book of Samuel that is mentioned prior to David, prior to Samuel, prior to Saul, prior to Jonathan, prior to all the great and minor prophets. It was this woman who was faced with a situation that needed a reversal of circumstances, that was able to declare unto the heavens, God, I know that you're able. I know that you have the ability to bring change and transformation. Friends, we have a God who is a God of transformation. If there's something that you need today, I want to invite you to pray to God and to know with great boldness that God hears your prayers. I have a poem I'd like to leave you with, and you're quite possibly familiar with it, but I thought it fitting to end this brief talk. I don't know how many of you are old enough to remember a sitcom with Fred Sanford. He had glasses all over the house. I have about 10 pair of glasses all over the house because I can never find my glasses. Sometimes they'll be here. My roommate has to tell me they're on your head, MacArthur. So I was going through the house looking for my glasses today. But this poem is by Mary Ann Williamson. You've heard it before. It's called Our Deepest Fear. I believe Hannah knew this. Thousands of years ago, Hannah knew this. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we're powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There's nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are meant to shine as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. I'm going to read that again. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we're liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. You are a child of the Most High God. There are none more loved than you. God's whole heart is poured out to each and every one of us, and not just us, but those in tent cities, those in homes where there's violence, to the veterans, both her and him, who have served this country and somehow have been lost in the mix, to the children without parents, to those that are yet waiting in the foster care system. They are children of the Most High God. To those who are jobless and waiting for employment, they are children of the Most High God. To those living in poverty, they are children of the Most High God. To the left, the right, the middle, independent, whomever, they are children of the Most High God. And that God hears our prayers. That God desires to be a blessing. As Hannah has reminded us, there is no one like that God. May you be blessed abundantly. Amen.
I learned how to take direction. Okay. All right.
Thank you. So now it's time for community, the prayers of the community. Do you have any prayer requests? Let me go there. Someone give it to me. Just one second.
I would just like to ask for prayers for the family of the little girl in Waimanalo, Isabel, for her family that loved her, for her family that may have caused her demise, for the police that have to deal with this, for the social workers who maybe could have done something differently, for our state that doesn't put any money into child welfare and keeps putting children in homes where they get abused and killed. We need prayers.
Becca may also have this prayer request, but yesterday Mary Reese heard from Mimi, who had heard from Adam Forrester. Many of you remember Adam. Some of you have come since he was here, but he was a very vital part of our church life during the short time he was with us when he was stationed here in the Army. And he came to us in a very dramatic way, as many of you remember. Shared that he had come his first Sunday thinking it would be the last Sunday of his life because he had been rejected by another church that would not let him join because he was gay. In any case, Mimi heard yesterday that Adam's mother suffered a fall only yesterday, and apparently as a result of the fall, she died. Adam is stationed in Arizona now, I believe, but let's keep him and his family in our prayers.
I have learned about a wonderful program on NPR today, which had highlighted a farm in Colorado, a successful farm now that combines solar panels and agriculture, and gives great hope for not having the two competing parts of, of progressive response to climate change, solar panels, or more food sustainability. So I just wanted to point that out, and you may be able to find the report yourself.
So Becca,
Becca, do you have prayers?
Yes, I do. But before I start, I noticed that we have a raised hand on the Zoom screen. So there we go. It's Shanti. So Shanti, go ahead and offer your prayer.
Okay, there. Okay. In these hard times, may we find our patience that is running thin with the holiday times coming, but also the mentally ill. It's really stressful. It's stressful on everybody. And we want to reach out, but we can't in these COVID and flu times and the weather too. So please let there be prayers. Thank you.
God, hear our prayers.
Our prayers.
I have two today. The first one is from Pule Lihua. She asks continued prayers for her niece, Malia, and her partner, Carolyn, and their child, the grandnephew, Tony, as they heal and they transition into a new living situation. God, hear our prayer. And also from Diane Neal, who offers prayers of praise and joy, that her mother celebrated her 91st birthday this week, and that her daughter Kathy will be coming to visit. And she asks safe travels for Kathy. God, hear our prayer.
So we want to pray for Mimi's colleague, Lori Bestignano, is having surgery this Thursday. Please pray for her healing to bring an active life back to her. God, hear our prayer. I want to lift up not only the woman that reached out to me, but all families that are impacted by domestic violence. As it's already been pointed out, the holiday season can bring additional familial stress, and we never know how that's going to play out. But I want to pray in particular for the children in those homes and for the spouses of the abuser. And I want to lift up the abuser as well, that God would intervene and intercede. God, hear our prayer. And then I want to pray for those that are currently without shelter, the houseless, those without homes, that God would provide a way that they might find housing or shelter. And at the very least, that God would use us, his people, his family, God's family, that God would use us in her service to be a blessing to those without homes. God, hear our prayer. Are there any others? Let us pray together. Holy One, Creator, you are so merciful. You are so kind to us. We know no other God apart from you. We declare, God, that your name is excellent in all the earth. And so it is in that name that we come to you this morning, lifting up this cascade of prayers. You know each one individually, and none of this took you by surprise. But as Hannah sang a new song, different from her song of oppression into a song of celebration, we ask that you would put on our lips a new song of praise for what you're about to do in the lives of families, children, veterans, those whose lives will be impacted in their mental health because of the holidays, and that you would envelop us in your love, that you would intercede on our behalf, that you would do justice in the world. We yield ourselves to you to be of service, such that you receive the glory and you alone. These prayers and others, those that are unuttered, we ask you to meet our needs and the needs of our families, our friends, our co-workers, our neighbors, and the stranger. We pray for those that are looking for a church home, but the church has closed their doors. We pray, O God, for the church and for those that are standing outside. Help us open the doors of our heart that we might welcome all in. This is our prayer. In the matchless name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So let us pray together, shall we? Eternal Spirit, Earth Maker, Pain Bearer, Life Giver, Source of all life that is and shall be, Father and Mother of us all, loving God in whom is heaven, the hallowing of your name echo through the universe, the way of your justice be found by the peoples of the world, your heavenly will be done by all created beings, your commonwealth of peace and freedom sustain our hope and come on earth. With the bread we need for today, feed us. For the hurts we cause others, forgive us. To forgive those who have hurt us, empower us. In times of temptation and tests, strengthen us. From trial too great to endure, spare us. From the grip of all that is evil, free us. For you reign in the glory of the power that is love, now and forever. Amen.
So now is the time for the invitation to the offering. So when Danny Morishige asked me to speak today about the stewardship campaign, he actually did not mention the very best part about this speaking gig, which is this amazing vantage point that I get to enjoy. And given the past 20 months, I hope you can all understand what a beautiful sight this is to behold. To be in this sanctuary space with you all. And to our friends on Zoom, we hope to have a chance to greet you in person in the near future. And in the meantime, it's a blessing to be able to share the peace of Christ with you virtually, whether you're on this island, a neighboring island, the Pacific Northwest, Wisconsin, Florida, Nova Scotia, Louisiana, England, Leavenworth, Kansas, or anywhere else on this globe. When I think about what the Crossroads Church has meant to me, especially this past year, I'm reminded of a particular verse. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11. I have seen something else under the sun. The race is not to the swift, or the battle to the strong, nor does food come to the wise, or wealth to the brilliant, or favor to the learned, but time and chance happen to them all. I'm not going to offer a scholarly take on this verse. I'll just say that this is my go-to verse when I'm bummed out or when life's a drag. And in this pandemic period, I think these words have provided some wisdom for me. I tried to be swift in getting vaccinated. I tried to be wise and proactive and do all the right things. Distancing, masking, washing my hands like crazy, working remotely. All with this belief that we can just get through this period as quickly as we can. Well, time and chance has happened to us all. And I've had some humbling moments in realizing that this pandemic period, like life in general, is something other than a traditional race. So a couple of months ago, my wife and I were doing our evening walk in the neighborhood, and we met a colleague of mine who lives a couple blocks down the road. I hadn't seen him in months, so we were catching up on each other's lives. I told him that our daughter Isabel was back on the East Coast for college, and he shared that his son was having to deal with 105 degree heat in school. And for whatever reason, I just could not put two and two together. I could have sworn this young man was still a senior in high school. And I was wondering, the AC breakdown in a school? What happened? It never occurred to me that he had indeed graduated, that he had gone through life milestones, baccalaureate, graduation, going off to college. I had to email him later on apologizing and asking him in which warm weather climate his son was attending college. Happens to be Arizona. I thought further about how I have been treating this pandemic period, and I realized that the more I saw this period as something to get over, a time of deferred family gatherings, deferred vacations, deferred projects, all with this goal of returning to the pre-pandemic normal life that we all so yearn for, the more I risked having the past 2 years become a black hole, just sucking up time never to be retrieved. And all the while, life has been going on. Fortunately, our church community never fell into this trap. And what do I mean by that? The work of this church has certainly continued. What I value about our church is that there are so many here who are steadfast, faithful, giving week after week after week. Worship most definitely continued with an adjustment to the Zoom platform. We've continued to be graced with incredible music from our choir and our community in general. Meals continue to be prepared for the Institute for Human Services and Family Promise. And we continue to advocate for peace, justice, and stewardship of the creation. So when I think about the stewardship campaign, I think about the steadfast love that Crossroads members have exhibited, demonstrated for the past 100 years. This year's campaign is entitled Rooted in Love. I like this title a lot. Oftentimes when we encounter or hear fundraising campaigns, we get bombarded by some pretty grandiose themes, you know, like seizing the future, for humanity, saving the planet, all noble, of course. But I love and I appreciate the immediacy of Rooted in Love. If you've been moved by this beloved community, I would ask you, friends and fellow sustaining members, to please consider making a pledge. So this is the third Sunday of the stewardship campaign. I'm told the deadline is November 21. So while the race is not to the swift, we best be quick. If you haven't received the stewardship campaign stewardship packet, please contact Kelly Garrett so that one can be sent to you, and please complete the green pledge card and mail it back as soon as possible or drop it off in the offering plates. Our pledges are really important for the upcoming year and will ensure that the council can present the new year budget to the annual at the annual meeting. And lastly, I'll note that the Kakua team has not been collecting offerings for social distancing reasons. We would ask, therefore, that at the end of service, if you could kindly place your offerings in the offering bowls by the doors, we would be very grateful. Thank you very much. Let us pray. God of grace, accept these gifts from our hands. Accept this offering for the work of your church. May it always be rooted in love. Amen.
Friends, by the mercy of God and by the power of God, I bless you as you go from this place, but not from the presence of God. I invite you to drive safely and pleasantly as you head out into this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. But I first need our candle holders to come down. Oh, okay. Thank you.